You're listening to FMGRadio.com. Welcome to The Happiness Choice, the show that shares with you the secrets to how you can find more happiness each day, with your host, Marilyn Tam.
Hello and welcome. This is your host, Marilyn Tam, on The Happiness Choice. You can always get more information about me, Marilyn Tam, on my website, MarilynTam.com. Today, we have a fabulous guest. I can hardly contain myself. Gary Malkin is a 7-time Emmy Award-winning composer, producer, performer, and public speaker. He is dedicated to making a difference by creating music-driven media and experiences that inspire the heart and catalyze healing. Gary is passionate about the vital role that the arts can play during these times of dramatic change as an innovative tool to enhance our humanity, the sense of meaning in our lives, and to cultivate greater emotional and social intelligence in an increasingly complex world. Gary has contributed to many global projects on environmental sustainability, spiritual tolerance, children's health and welfare, cancer research, and cross-cultural healing. He is also the co-creator of the best-selling CD and book, Graceful Passages, which helps people face life transitions with greater mindfulness, peace, presence, and compassion. And he's also co-authored the CD and book called Safe in the Arms of Love, which uses music to strengthen the parent-child bonding process before and after birth. Gary created Wisdom Films, Media for Human Being, which are short format, what he calls meditations for stress reduction and the heart-mind integration. He's presented on the healing power of music in the Great Hall of China just before the Beijing Olympics. I could go on and on about Gary because he's basically a multimedia musical instrument. I can't even speak. I'm so excited. Inspirational and healing phenomena. So please help me welcome Gary Malkin to the Happiness Choice Radio Show. Welcome, Gary.
Oh, my God. Thank you so much, Marilyn. What a great, great introduction. Thanks so much.
Well, it's my pleasure. And I can't wait to hear from you your own secrets to happiness, because you've worked so much in this field of healing, the power of music to transform, basically the power of music, the delivery and the intrinsic to the concrete. So what do you do yourself to be happy?
You know, I just recently spoke to a series of executives in Central Europe in Prague. They asked me to speak about music and creativity for life-work balance. Mm-hmm. And, of course, life-work balance is the proxy for happiness, right? Because if we're balanced in our life and work, we're feeling harmony and balance in our lives in general. And I really started to drill down, like, what was the core that I wanted to say? And the simplest and most accessible answer to the question you're asking is, at the bottom line, nothing is problematic in the present moment, right?
Mm-hmm. I mean,
right. So when you think about it, music is not only the emotional and universal language of the soul, but it actually is one of the most profound tools that we have to get fully present with our body, our mind, our heart, spirit, and soul. You know, so yeah. So one of my answers to your questions is, from the age of 5 years old, I've been benefiting from playing music, and in a sense it's a way of having a deep engagement with the present moment. Music has been a way that I've been happy by being in the now, not just the way the culture defines now, which is intellectually and rationally, but in the now, where your heart is open, your spirit's inspired, and you're in the present moment, like you know you can really feel it in every part of your body. And that's my first answer, is my way of getting happy is being in the now in a radically engaged way.
And that's so powerful, because we all need to hear that, just being present. Because as I even talk about in my book, The Happiness Choice, that oftentimes we're worried about what's going to happen or what's happened before.
Exactly.
So yeah. If we're not here, how can we do anything about what's happening in this moment?
Well, you know, no, and it's really true that in the culture, what they've normalized is, like, intellectual and rational engagement has become the standard way in business and in finance and in government. That's the standard credible way to communicate. But my dream, my vision, is that the world that we're co-creating right now is a world that normalizes full engagement of our emotional and spiritual intelligences as equally valuable and important to our intellectual. So another answer to the question, how do I stay happy and how do I get myself happy, is when I find myself getting dry and narrow with the culture's definition of what it means to be credible, which is that hyper-rational, that hyper-linear and rational ways of thinking. You know, we're all susceptible to it. We're all doing emails and texts and Twitters, and we're all multitasking, and we're distracting ourselves all the time. And it sneaks up on us. I mean, and I know it sneaks up on me a lot. And suddenly I realize, what's wrong with this picture? And then I realize what's wrong is that I've gotten sucked in to the culture's definition of what's credible, which is mostly language, linear thought, right? Hmm. And all of a sudden, the reason why I love making keynotes and stuff and also serving as a consultant is what often people forget is that 5 minutes of an immersive experience, and what I mean by immersive is where you're not able to process it all with your brain, with your linear brain, right? So music, poetry, story, a walk in nature, you know, anything that is so completely embracing of the moment that you can't reduce it to a soundbite for Twitter, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that turns out to be, that 5 minutes of immersion turns out to moisten our beings in a way that lasts at least 60 to 90 minutes. And so your heart is open and your spirit is engaged. And then if you don't give yourself another immersive moment, for at least 5 or 10 minutes after that, you can get really boring and bland and dry, meaning unhappy. Okay, so that's another answer to your question.
Hmm. I know that a lot of my listeners are going to be saying, yes, yes, that sounds great, but what happens about making money? You talk about all those intangible and wonderful things, but I'm worried about money. And I know that you've had your personal challenges with losing huge amounts of your fortune due to mismanagement of other people's parts. How do you deal with that? You know, because most people would be so devastated that when they lose, you know, a big chunk of their net worth, and they just go, oh, how can I be happy in such a circumstance? How do you do that?
Well, you know, it's funny. I haven't publicly talked that much about the Madoff scandal and how it's affected me. But I have to say that one of the strangest gifts that I was given was when everything was taken away in this process, I started to really look at what matters most. And that is another source of happiness, the ability to feel your priorities, that where suddenly you realize what matters most, and that the idea of just being grateful for being alive, for being 6 feet above the ground, is a great place to start, you know? Mm-hmm. But in answer to your question, that's partly why my new creative partner, Bruce Cryer, who I'll say who he is in a minute, but he and I created this thing called What Makes Your Heart Sing. .net, right? And it's all about awakening the importance of inspiration in our lives as the ultimate precursor to thriving, to success, to wellness, to abundance, if you will, right? Mm. So what this is really based on, it's a lot of the new positive psychology movement. It's based on a lot of new findings in science that a famous researcher from the University of Virginia talked about, that when you're moved and inspired in a significant way, he calls it the theory of elevation. And what happens is you're operating at the optimal state of your human capacity. And when you're operating at that optimal state, don't you think you're going to be thinking better? You're going to be more proactive. You're going to be more creative. And that's going to lead to greater success financially. So number one, being elevated, being connected in the way Jonathan Haidt says is great. But the other one is, when you're in the sweet spot of that which moves you and inspires you, when you're connected to your purpose and your passion, which I have been with doing music my whole life, it is a precursor to success. There is no question that when you're doing what you are really passionate about, all the engines are running and you're able to interact, co-create, relate, conceive, all the functions that you would do to make money, only you do it by having happiness and as your best friend while you're doing it. And I think that just makes for even more success. Don't you think, Marilyn?
Absolutely. And you said something very key, and I talk about this in my book, and I actually have a whole section on teaching people how to attach and discover their own, which is their life purpose. And you found it when you were age 7, which is amazing. So a lot of our listeners, a lot of people I've worked with, still don't know their life purpose. And this is something I like to talk about. You know, so say you found out that music is your life purpose when you were 7. How did you go about developing that?
Well, you know, first of all, I started playing piano when I was 5 years old, but I didn't, you know, all I knew is that I had to play music for the rest of my life. But I never knew until we created Graceful Passages 15 years ago that what my real passion was using the power of music to awaken consciousness and cultivate a more heart-opened world, right? Mm-hmm. Now, that sounds really airy-fairy, and for those of you who think, yeah, yeah, but it turns out that I really had to kind of define and hone in on my life's calling after, you know, I've been doing TV, music for TV and film for 35 years and all that sort of stuff. But it was only when I started really sharing that with others in a way that really made a difference in their lives, that's when I found that my purpose was on fire. And I went, oh my God, that's what I'm here for. And I want to encourage your listeners to not settle for the process of constantly honing in and refining on what is it that you really came here for. And like for me, it started when I was young with music in general. But now here I am in my, you know, in a different phase of my life. And I realize it's not just music. It's music as a tool for success, for thriving, for inspiration, for healing, for wellness. That's my sweet spot. And finding that has been a source of enormous gratification. I don't know if I answered your question, but that's what my response is.
Yes, and you've done it so well, because what I tell people in my book and elsewhere is when you don't think you know where your purpose is, what your life purpose is, first thing is don't panic, don't feel guilty, don't make yourself wrong. And then from there, just say, okay, what draws my attention? Like you found that you liked music, but you didn't know how that was going to create your life. You just knew you had to do something about music. And it's only, what, in the last 15, 20 years that you created really the real road. I mean, you've won 7 Emmys, you've done all these great things, but the real purpose of your life in music is to heal and to transform.
Right. And yeah. So, and really, you know, what I've noticed in this culture, Marilyn, is that people, there's a lot of knowledge out there, but there's not very much wisdom. Mm-hmm. And to me, what I've devoted my life to is using music as a delivery system for knowledge. And there's some alchemical process that happens. And this is now just talking about my passion here, just to diverge for a second, that when you combine knowledge that's soul connected, and you combine it in a delivery system like music or, you know, in beauty, it becomes something, it cultivates and ages as wisdom inside of us. And that's what I've devoted my life to. And mm-hmm. So I'm really committed to the role of the arts as not just the kind of the garnish to the main course of life, like the parsley on the plate, but the digestive enzyme that enables us to withdraw the nutrients of the main course so that life becomes really juicy and meaningful and successful. And that's why I love your work, Marilyn, because when you're happy, it's sort of, that's another digestive enzyme. When you're happy, you can derive the nutrients and the meaning of every moment so much more powerfully than if you're just sitting there, you know, just, you know, kind of blandly going along your life, going according to somebody else's vision of themselves. So that's one of the reasons I love your book.
Well, thank you. I love your analogy about how our joy, our passion becomes, as you call it, the digestive enzyme to allow us to absorb all the stuff that comes into our world, which may be nutritious, but we never can absorb the nutrients if we don't have the enzymes is music, the enzymes is happiness to bring us to that point. That's exactly. A beautiful analogy. Thank you so much. And I want to just kind of take a little bit more of what you're saying and repeat it, because I like to hear sometimes the essence of what you're talking about, which is you have a passion or interest, and everybody does something, and we don't know how that's going to lead to a career or making money. But if we keep leaning into that and following it, it's going to expand, and it would become, in time probably, and sometimes faster than others, the very fabric of our lives and the fabric in which it's going to sustain us economically, emotionally, spiritually, physically, in every which way. So
I love that.
A wonderful way of explaining happiness and how you can maintain that. Thank you.
Well, and you're welcome. Do I have time for one last little tweak on that, or okay. addition to it? That famous line, "The pursuit of happiness," has sold us such a misnomer, such a mistake of consciousness, because that what we know is that anything you pursue, it's sort of like it is always elusive. It's always beyond arm's length. It's like what I've learned in my years of all these things, I really got that the more you allow and magnetize and drop in and pray for and really the more you kind of attract is the higher chances of you getting that happiness. But when you pursue it, there's that self, that little self that's kind of, I've got to have this, and you're grasping out for something. And I've learned in this day and age, the most powerful way to get what you're looking for is to, you know, imagine it, dream it, feel it, attract it, magnetize it. But when you pursue it, it always seems beyond your reach. And that's one more piece I wanted to add to that.
Well, thank you. Now, I just want to finish with your website so people can find out more about you and your wonderful work. Can you give your website?
Yeah, well, I have a lot of different JV partners because I've been searching for all different ways to use music mm-hmm. for the transitions of our lives mm-hmm. from birth to death. So if you go to GaryMalkin.com, MALKIN.com, then you can find out all the different worlds that I'm participating in. And the place where all my products are wisdomoftheworld.com, which you'd be able to find. And then I just did want to make mention again, whatmakesyourheartsing.net, which is it's really the culmination of everything that I've worked for, is to finally recognize that when you're in the sweet spot of your joy, your passion, your purpose, everything falls into place holistically. And that's why you and I are kindred spirits, Marilyn.
Thank you so much. That's Gary Malkin. I can't wait till next week when we talk again about how you advise people on how they too can achieve happiness. So come back next week. This is Marilyn Tam, your host to The Happiness Choice, signing off.
You've been listening to The Happiness Choice Show with host Marilyn Tam. For show info, schedule, and guest bio, be sure to visit www.fmgradio.com/Marilyn Tam. That's MARILYNTAM.